I had an agenda. I've had an agenda the past several weeks. I have a message that I'm wanting to bring, and I was going to do it this week, but then God interrupted me halfway through the week. And, you know, God talks to us in various different ways. You know, sometimes He puts an impression upon our heart. Sometimes, you know, somebody says something and God speaks to us. Sometimes we see something. Sometimes we hear a minister. There's all different ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but it always confirms in our heart what is true. So this week, I ended up having a dream. And after I woke up in the morning, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I know what I'm ministering on Sunday. And here's the title of the sermon. Can two walk together unless they agree? Can two walk together unless they agree? So in this dream, I wasn't actually planning on sharing the dream. I was just going to go into the sermon, but I feel like there's some things that kind of illustrate this a little better if I share the dream. So in the dream, we're at church. The service is getting ready to get started, and somebody had invited this band to come and play. And so this band comes in, and it's like a professional band. They've got a manager, they've got road crew, they've got all the equipment, and they're setting everything up, and it's like chaotic. And I'm doing stuff, and I'm not even paying attention to that because I have other things to do. And then I come out, you know, this is like, I'm like, why isn't service started? Why isn't worship started? And I come out, and it's like everybody is sitting down, and the manager is just sitting there. Well, there's sort of things that, this was me, but I also saw things happen as it progressed. I wasn't there, but I saw it happen. You know, and here's the band, everything's getting set up, it's this controlled chaos, and you know, they're all doing different things, and one band member is ordering a sub from some place, and you know, the other ones are all, you know, they're playing their instruments and doing all this stuff, and they're arguing with one another, and the manager, you know, they start bickering and getting on each other's nerve, and the manager is just like, okay, you guys, you're sitting down and you're not doing anything until you get yourselves under control. And they're all sitting there. I come out there. You know, they're supposed to be leading worship for the church, right? Church service starts. Nothing's going on. And I come out there and I'm like, what's going on? Well, they're sitting over there until they get their attitudes right. And I'm like, you can't just do that. You can't just not, you know, have them do worship there. This is like, if you're doing your own thing, sure, but you're here, you know, for me to do this. This is like, now you're not doing it at all. Well, you know, they're all getting upset, and it's like, one of the questions was, well, what about so-and-so? They're like, oh, well, they brought him an Italian sub. And everybody's like, oh. Apparently, this put his whole life in critical failure or something. You know, it's just like just the chaos and just the you know, I'm like, you guys need to be united in what you're doing. You know, you need to. This is like because they were constantly fighting one another. They were bickering and just creating chaos. You know, it says that where strife and contention is, where there's strife and contention, there's every evil work. Where there's strife and contention, there is every evil work. You know, and afterwards I was thinking about the dream, I was praying about it, and one of the things that you guys don't know, because you weren't in the dream, but there was an interesting thing about the sanctuary when all this was going on, is it was very long. It was very long. It was probably about as long as this, but it was only about this big. It was very narrow. It wasn't very deep. One of the things that limits churches, which causes them to not be very deep, to not be able to get deeper into the things of God, is a lack of unity. Can two walk together unless they agree? That's out of, actually, it's a scripture. Those of you that don't know it, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And this was God speaking to the nation of Israel, and he was rebuking them. And there's a whole bunch of stuff after that about, you know, yeah, he wasn't very nice to them. But he's basically saying, can two walk together unless they agreed? They weren't agreeing with God. So they weren't walking with God. I mean, that's obviously where this needs to start, is our agreement needs to be with God. That we need to agree with what God is saying and doing. Mark 3. Matthew's the next one. Mark 3, verse 24. Mark 3, verse 24 and 25. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. He was talking about, you know, they were accusing him of casting out demons by the Lord of demons. And he said, a house divided against itself can't stand. Even Satan knows that. Even Satan knows you can't have a divided house. That's why he's so effective. He doesn't tolerate disunity. I mean, he's much more violent about dealing with it, but he doesn't tolerate it. But yeah, we seem to tolerate all kinds of disunity in the kingdom. Well, if that's your opinion, then you do whatever you want. Well, are we gods or are we not gods? Do we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ or do we not? If we do, then we have a responsibility to Him. We have a responsibility to walk according to His kingdom. His kingdom. Isn't that what this is about? Isn't that really what we're talking about? Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Savior of the world. And if we need salvation, He is there to deliver us. But that's only a portion of who He is. He is our Savior. He had to do that to receive the eternal crown, to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, to restore God's creation back to its rightful owner, and that's God. And it's about God's kingdom as God intended it to be. And if we're not agreeing with Him, if we're not walking with Him in agreement, then we're walking in disunity. We're not walking on the same path. We're not walking together. We're walking down a different path. And if we're walking down a different path, what's the end going to be? What's the end going to be? You know, there's the scripture. It says, narrow is the way, difficult, and narrow is the path that leads to life. But broad is the way that leads unto destruction. Broad and easy is the way that leads to destruction. You know, you can take that to mean a few different ways. You know, it's like the path of righteousness, the path to victory, the path to God's kingdom is narrow. It's defined. There's not a whole lot of variation. There's a path. His name is Jesus. But the world, there's many paths. There's various paths, and they all lead to one place, destruction. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Why do churches not, why are they not effective? Why are they not growing? Well, if there's disunity in them, if they're not unified, then they can't walk in the blessing of God, because God can't bless disunity, because it's not from Him. Disunity is not from Him. Contention is not from God. Contention isn't from God. If you're contentious, stop it. Just stop it. It's not from God. It's not who you are. That's the reality. It's not who you are. You're born of the seed of God. You're born in His likeness. God is not divided. you know what? Jesus just didn't decide, you know what, God? You know, I feel my teenage years coming on. Oh, Father, I feel like I'm going to be rebellious. I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to live how I want. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care about your kingdom anymore. No. That's not what he did. The Holy Spirit just doesn't say, you know what? I just don't feel like being around today. I decide, I'm going to hang out on the dark side of the moon. You know, I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go to the other side of the universe. I'm going to do something new. I don't want to hang out with the humans anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. Does the Holy Spirit do that? No, because they're unified. They are completely, absolutely unified. I mean, we're the ones that are experts in disunity. How many times do our bodies tell us something different than our minds telling us, something different than what our spirit's telling us? You know, as a church, we need to be unified. Matthew 26, verse 14 and 15. This is, at what point is this? This is Jesus had the Last Supper. He had come into the temple. This is the last of Jesus' ministry. And this is Judas, one of the 12. You know, he walked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus from the beginning. He saw everything that happened. And here he is. When one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out 30 pieces of silver. You know what? Judas didn't walk in agreement with Jesus. He had walked with Jesus. He had seen all this stuff, but he wasn't in agreement with Jesus. He had his own objective. He had his own agenda. He had what he wanted to do. And it brought him to the point where he sold Jesus into the hands of his enemy because he was accomplishing his own will. We need to walk with Jesus. You know, and Jesus says, you know, in praying, he says, "Lord, I thank you that I have lost none but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled." You know, and I think it grieved Jesus that he had to lose even one. Because he loved Judas. Even though he betrayed him, he loved him. Judas didn't have the same vision as Jesus. He didn't have the same objective. Jesus knew where he was going. He saw the cross. He knew what needed to be done so that he could pay for all of their sins. For the sins of all humanity. You know, there's a lot of times people will say, you know what, if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would die for you. I don't really love that statement. I cringe when I hear it. Because it's devaluing God. Jesus came for the sins of all humanity, everywhere, and every time, and every generation, and every sin of every person, everywhere. It was absolute. It was not a one-person deal, but an every person deal. I just think it cheapens the whole thing when we relegate it to, well, if you were the only person, Jesus would die for you. Jesus died for everyone, everywhere, good and bad, sinner and saint. Doesn't matter who you are, Jesus died for you. He died for us. And he wants us to follow him, to be in unity and agreement with him, because he leads to life. He leads to life. You know, sometimes you feel like you're preaching to the crowd. I'm like, wondering why this message, but okay. Maybe you just need to be reminded. Or perhaps maybe I'm teaching you so that you can remind others. I started thinking through examples where people weren't in agreement. And every scriptural example I came up with was really bad. It was really bad. You know, this is like Moses, great example. Several times people were in disunity, disagreement with him. They weren't, you know, they weren't walking the same path. And then God came and killed them all. I'm like, okay, this is, I'm thinking something maybe not quite as extreme. You know, God's not, you know, just because you're in disunity doesn't mean that God's going to kill you. I mean, sometimes these were extreme examples. You know, when you're trying to subvert the people of God, yes, be aware of death. It's going to come for you. But, you know, I really started to process. And I came up with one. Acts 15:39. Turn there. So you know Paul and Barnabas, they were called by God to be apostles, to go out and establish churches and establish the kingdom of God wherever they went. You know, and they traveled all over Asia, Mediterranean. You know, they like went everywhere along the Mediterranean, planted churches. So here they are. You know, they traveled together for years, planted many churches, seen many people's lives changed. Verse 39. So Acts 15, verse 39. Then contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Here's the argument that they were having. Paul and Barnabas were on missionary journey. Mark was with them. And at one point, Mark couldn't go forward. He was done. He said, "Nah, I can't handle this. I'm done." And so then they continued on. So then later on, Barnabas wants to take Mark with them because they're going to go back through and visit all the churches that they had planted and established. And they're like, "I want to take," you know, Barnabas is like, "Let's take Mark with us." And Paul's like, "No, I'm not taking Mark because he gave up on us last time. I'm not going to go through that again." I'm paraphrasing. I'm adding some of my own stuff here. But, you know, the argument was, you know, he's like, I don't want to take him. He left us. You know, Paul's kind of he's a go-getter. He's like, "I don't have time for that. We need to go." But, and it became, this is what it says, then the contentions became so sharp that they parted from one another. They began to have diverging visions. Barnabas was, "Let's restore Mark. Let's," you know, it's like he's learned some, he's grown. "So let's restore him. Let's go on this vision and we'll show him what happened," you know, and then, you know, he can get involved and be part of it. You know, we established it. He can pick up. And Paul's like, "No, I don't have time for that. We need to go. We just need to continue to press forward." They had diverging visions. So then they separated. Well, were they out of God's will? No, not necessarily. They just had separate visions. And knowing where your heart is, what's in your heart, is important when being part of a body of Christ. Are you in agreement with them? I attended a church a number of years ago before I started going to Lake Elmo. I was attending a church, and it wasn't a spirit-filled church. It was actually a Baptist church. I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not going to tell you who. But it's part of that church, and I recognized God's hand. I recognized the Spirit moving in the church. I'm like, "God's moving here. I can be here. I can be part of this." And so we started going, we started attending, and, you know, we were kind of there as part of what was going on, and it was a good church. They loved God, they were moving forward and learning about God. But there came a point when the pastor got up and said, "You know, I've not made a big issue about this, I'm still not going to make a big issue out of it, but it's just something that you need to know." He says, "For years, I've not really believed in all the tenets of Calvinism. I've just kind of, you know, believed in a few of them. But I've been fully convinced that, you know, that the tenets of Calvinism are are correct, and I believe in all of them, and that if you just need to know that if you're going to be part of leadership in this church, that you need to agree with the tenets of Calvinism. At that point, I knew we had an issue. And so it's like, and I wasn't going to create contention in the church, because I don't agree with the tenets of Calvinism. And so at that point, I'm like, okay, we need to move on. Because I'm not going to create contention in a church. It's God's house. Even though I disagree, I may not... Okay. We're safe. It's family. We have a greater revelation. Because we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that God is still operating. We believe that God still works in miracles and signs and wonders. We have a greater revelation. And you know what? Here's the thing. When you have a greater revelation, you have a responsibility to be accepting of those who have a lesser. And not to be in a state of condemnation. Oh, well, you're not as good as me because you don't have the greater revelation. That's not kingdom. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is He accepts people where they are, and He will never move them beyond where they are if they're unwilling. Keyword, unwilling. There are those that are willing and there's those that are unwilling. And He's not going to push people who are unwilling, who have set their feet and said, no, I won't go there. Because it's about blessing. We've all come to a point of salvation. Anything after that is gravy. The rest of that's all cookies and candy and ice cream. It's all good stuff. Steak. You know, mashed potatoes. Yeah, Mexican food. But, you know, it's about salvation. It's about knowing Jesus. You know what? From there, it's everyone's choice. How far with God are you going to go? And that's a question you guys have to ask yourself. How far in God are you willing to go? Because here's the reality. The further you go, the more your flesh is going to hate it. The more you're going to get offended because it's going to mess with what you want to do. It's going to mess with your agenda, your opinion, your desire, right? Especially your opinion part. You know, it's like, because we all get opinions, we all get ideas. And this is like, I like put things together and I... You know, you figure things out, and it's like, yeah, this must be how it is. And then all of a sudden you're reading along, and you read a scripture, and you're like, oh, that doesn't fit into this. Oh, scrap that. You know, and it's not fun having to throw it all on and say, well, I totally missed that one. There's times I think I've had a great sermon. I'm like, yes, this is good. And then a scripture comes, I'm like, oh, no, that's not God. That's not the Word of God. I can't use that one. I can't, because it's not God. That was my opinion. And it would have been great, it would have stirred you up and you would have been excited, but it's not God. So you just would have been emotionally charged up and there would have been no life in it. I want God. We want to, you know, it's like, but we have to agree with Him. Oh, that's right, that's where I was. So there's a point at which, you know what? I separated. And it's not that they were bad. They had a different vision. He had a different path he was going down, and I couldn't follow him down that path. I had to walk the path that I agreed with, that I could, you know, that I can walk down. And so we don't look down on people who, you know, aren't willing to go as far as we are. Ephesians 4:3. I've become pretty acquainted with Ephesians 4. I've ministered on it a lot. And there's some really good stuff just in that chapter. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit. Whose Spirit? God's Spirit. What does that mean? That we strive to be in agreement with the Spirit of God. We strive to be in agreement with the Spirit of God. That we can agree. Because two can't walk together unless they agree. I mean, could you imagine? You're like, we know that when we get born again, that the Holy Spirit comes and makes an abode in our heart. That He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But do you ever think there's some paths we're traveling on and the Holy Spirit's kind of lagging behind? It's like, it's not the way to go. You know, we're just charging it. Holy Spirit's like, that's not the right path. I'm with you, but it's not the right path. And then all of a sudden, we're walking along, you know, we're going along, we're jogging. And all of a sudden, the ground's gone. Wham! We fall flat on our face and we're like, God, what happened? I thought we were going together. I thought you were with me. So, and he's standing up on the edge and goes, yeah, I'm with you. But this isn't the way we're supposed to go. You weren't listening to me. We need to go over there. It's like, help. Yes, I'll help. He pulls us out of the ditch. And this is the point. Are we willing to listen to get on the right path? Are we willing to go on the path that He's calling us to go on? We need to be in agreement. We need to be in agreement. If we want to see the will of God accomplished in this church, if we want to see the miracles of God accomplished, if we want to see the kingdom established, we need to be unified. We need to be unified. We need to be in agreement as to where we're going. Because that's where power is. You guys ever listen to choirs? Has anyone here heard bad choirs? Bad ones. I've heard bad ones. How many here have heard good choirs? Good choirs are amazing. They're so powerful. It's like the music just like boom, it hits you. And you're like, wow. That was awesome because there's such oomph, there's such a presence. It's so amazing. Why? Because they're unified. Everybody knows their part. You know, that's the thing. I've been in choirs before. Everybody knows their part. You know, it's like the sopranos sing their part. The altos sing their part. The bass, the baritones, they all sing their part. And then there's subdivisions within that. There's some that sing harmony, some that sing melody. You know, and there's... But everybody knows that part, and when it's done well, when it's done in unity, everybody's working towards the same goal. What's their goal? Their goal is to perform the piece well. It sounds amazing. But when there's disunity and it's not functioning properly, it sounds terrible. It's awful. It doesn't sound very good. And most churches are like that. They're a bad choir. Not even singing the same piece. I mean, if you can get a church singing the same piece, wow, that's an accomplishment. But if we can all get into unity, you know? And this is like you don't have a baritone trying to sing the soprano's part. I mean, that's not going to work well. It's not. This is like, and that's part of this process of learning where do we stand in the body of Christ. What is God asking us to do? What is God asking us to do? Who am I in God's kingdom? How can I contribute to the body of Christ? How can I be a blessing to the body that I'm part of? Because it's a, we're all brought into this unity. The body. And it says that every joint supply. Every part supplies. Every part supplies. It means you've got a part to play. Well, I don't really feel like I've got much. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have much. You just have to have your part. Just your part. You don't have to have somebody else's part. Just your part. You got to sing your part. It may not be much, but it might be very needed. But we need to be in agreement. I'm going to finish with this, because I'm starting to go over. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and 6. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are diverse. They're various. They're different. You know, we've covered the gifts of the Spirit. For the sake of time, I'm not going to cover them, but they're in there. You know, that's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, gifts of healing, that all that stuff. There are various gifts, but the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. The gifts that we have operating through us are given by the Holy Spirit. God's not opposed to diversity. But it's the same Spirit. It means it's the same objective. When the Spirit of God is operating in the church, there should be unity in what the gifts of the Spirit are doing, because it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Ministries. Ministers, fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That's what this is talking about. There are different ministries, but one Lord. So all the ministries should be working in unity for the purpose of God. That's why it's interesting, you know, when one person gets up and ministers, and then the next week another person gets up and ministers, and they minister along the same lines, that there seems to be unity in the Word, because there's the same Lord. They're listening to the same Lord, and He's guiding them and directing them to take them in the same same direction. Sometimes you get somebody who's completely off. Well, then, who's His Lord? You start looking at that. Why is that one so different than everything else? Or maybe God's trying to get a different point across. But there's one Lord, the same Lord. So it means there's unity in the ministry. There should be. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Same diversity in activities. Do you know what that means? God gives objectives to people. God gives objectives to people. Ministers in particular. Churches, individuals. He gives them objectives. He gives them things to accomplish, tasks. Well, I know one of my tasks is going to be starting a church in Amory. That's a task that God has given me. You know what? This church has a task. Okay, so tell me, what is the church's task? Anyone want to take a stab at it? This church, what is this church's task? Pop quiz. Okay. Well, I've apparently gotten it out. We need to be a light. We need to be a light. I mean, that's why Lighthouse. Because we need to be a light. This is the lighthouse. God has put us here to shine the light of His love, to be a place of refuge and healing to those in need. You guys are the base of the beginning of the growth in this church. You're the ones that I'm going to look to and rely on as things go forward, as new people come in. Because you know me. You know the vision of the church. You've been part of this. And I'm not going to be able to minister to everyone that comes in. And not everyone's going to listen to me personally. But they might talk to you. They might listen to you. This is what the church, this is how it functions. We have to grow up so that we can grow others up. God's plan for us is to grow. We've been established. Now we need to grow. And you guys are going to be part of that. You're going to help with that. You're going to participate in it. And it's going to get messy sometimes. And it's going to get loud. And it's going to get frustrating. But it's going to be awesome. Because we're going to see God move in people's lives. We're going to see people who did not know God come to know God and then begin to see their lives transform right before our very eyes. We're going to see people who are out there who've been hurt in churches come in and be standoffish. They're going to say, "Well, I don't know about all this. I really like what you got. You know, I like God, but I'm not sure about you people." Because they've been injured. Because they've been hurt. And they're going to need you to show kindness and love and compassion. Because some of you were hurt. And you came in here. And you've been healed. And now you can turn around and do the same thing to others. Isn't that awesome? This is about the kingdom. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom. We're not going to see His kingdom unless we walk it out. Just plain and simple as that. We will see the world's kingdom. We will see the devil's kingdom. Because it's all around us. But we won't see God's kingdom unless we walk it out. Let's walk it out together. Let's see what God has for us. Let's take what God has given to us. There's people out there that are in desperate need, crying out to God, looking for some answers, and they just need someone to show them the way. And we need to be there for that. Because that's why God saved us. So we can show others. Yes, I am excited. And yes, I am terrified. It's the way of battle. The excitement and terror of the moment of entering into combat. It's going to be awesome. Let's pray. Father, we endeavor to do your will. We want to accomplish the task that you set before us. We want to see the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ established here in this earth, in our lives, in our families, in our communities, so that your name gets all the honor and all the glory, and that we begin to see creation itself begin to change because of the blessing of God being poured out upon the people of God, that it begins to transform an entire area because of the blessing flowing through your people. Lord, let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified. Let the earth proclaim your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.